Good evening and welcome to Greek Through the Ages on Cosmos FM. I'm George Panessis. As many of our listeners probably know, June is Gay and Lesbian Pride Month, the culmination of which is the Gay and Lesbian Pride March, which will take place this Sunday on Fifth Avenue. Tonight on Greek Through the Ages, we'll discuss the problems faced by gay and lesbian Greek Americans and their families, and sources of information and support that are available to them. I'm joined by three guests. The Reverend Athina Gassoumis is an interfaith minister and pastoral counselor with a Master's of Divinity from Union Theological Seminary in Art and Theology. She does conflict resolution with families and youth at risk and is based in New York and New Jersey. Dr. Perry Chalkidis, clinical assistant professor in New York University's Department of Applied Psychology, is an HIV behavioral researcher. His work on HIV/AIDS primary and secondary prevention among gay and bisexual men is funded by the Center for Disease Control, National Institutes of Health, and the American Psychological Foundation. Yota Papadopoulos is a doctoral candidate in counseling psychology at the Teachers College of Columbia University and chair of GAPSI, the Greek American Behavioral Sciences Institute. She studies ethnic identity issues. Welcome to you all. Athina, why don't you start us off? Why is this an important topic for the Greek community?
I think this is a crucial topic for the Greek community, one, because there's not any support, I don't believe, for Greeks, gay Greeks in the community to even deal with any of these issues. I know from my own personal experience, I've had to reach out to other aspects of the gay community in order to even have any kind of understanding for myself. So I think it's important for gay Greeks, gay lesbian Greeks, to understand that they have to reach out, know where to reach out, and then perhaps bring that information back into the community. Perry, I don't know if you have any suggestions.
I would agree with that. I think that for most gays and lesbians in the United States, there's a sense of isolation, a sort of separation from mainstream society. For many ethnic groups, like for Latinos and for African Americans and for Asians, there are support groups within those communities to support gay and lesbian identity. Such a presence is not evident for the Greek American community. And certainly, you know, our data would suggest that, you know, there are gay American lesbians and gay men out there who need that kind of help and that kind of support.
Mm-hmm. In terms of within what organizations have you been able to get some support from? I assume it's, you know, like the New York group of gay and lesbian folks. And has there been a Greek group developed within that in some way that would address the individual problems that Greek Americans face?
Once again, from my own experience, going to the Gay and Lesbian Community Center has always been the best source of outreach, best source of information, best source of anything. It has, you know, incredible opportunities to know what's going on and resources. So I would suggest anybody that's struggling with any types of issues possibly begin there and then see what availability there is and then bring that either back into the community or start reaching out from within that.
Mm-hmm. I guess the purpose of GAPSI is also, that's the Greek American Behavioral Sciences Institute, is to address some of these issues. Yoda, why don't you chime in on what GAPSI has done along these lines?
Well, the main thing that we've done is we had an event on May 5th in association with the Greek American University of Professionals and the Greek Gay and Lesbian Association to provide a forum of discussion, bringing these two speakers together, and to begin a dialogue in the community about the struggle to combine these two sometimes conflicting identities.
Perry, you've written a chapter in a book that was published recently. It's called Greek American Families, Traditions and Transformations, published by Pella. I guess we'll give more information about it, about the book at the end of the show. But what your chapter focused on was the conflict between an ethnic identity, religious identity, and a sexual identity. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk to us a little about that?
Sure. I think that for any young boy or girl growing up in the Greek American community, ethnic identity, especially if both parents are immersed in that community, ethnic identity becomes a very, very important aspect of their lives. Mm-hmm. As sexual identity develops for those children, there is an increased awareness on the part of the children, adolescents, you know, young adults, mm-hmm. that their community, their ethnic group doesn't necessarily make room for these kinds of differences in their development. Mm-hmm. And that kind of tension which are experienced, again, I want to emphasize that the kind of tension that I'm talking about for Greek American gays and lesbians is also true for other ethnic groups, is this tension between maintaining an ethnic identity, maintaining strongholds to the culture, mm-hmm. while at the same time being comfortable enough to come out, mm-hmm. to disclose one's, you know, sexual identity, and to somehow fuse the two. And I think it's a lifelong struggle for every gay man and for every lesbian, mm-hmm. and for every bisexual person for that matter, to try to integrate the two parts into a manageable, integrated, you know, realistic whole.
I would think that a lot of people would have to go away from the Greek community for a pretty long time before they can get the strength to come back and say, this is who I am, and you know, I'm still your son. Your experiences along those lines, I mean, how that's kind of a hero's journey, right? And it can be extremely painful. Maybe some of our listeners are going through that right now.
Sure, I think that that you're absolutely right. And research psychologists in identity theory have argued for a long time, most recently Morales being one of the most vociferous in this field in his work with Latino men, has spoken very clearly of the need to separate away from the ethnic community, mm-hmm. as one's sexual identity is developing. That by going and immersing oneself into that community, the person is able to develop a sexual identity that's more complete. Mm-hmm. Only until those elements are in place can the person then come back to the ethnic community and then attempt to integrate the two.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think, you know, my focus being that of sort of spiritual wellness, physical wellness, emotional wellness, that we also know that within any ethnic, strong ethnic community, that the umbilical sort of ties are so extreme that separation from one's family can cause major breakdown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the parents and for the children. So I think especially within the Greek community, that even though separation is necessary, it's also going to be very painful. So it's an absolutely individual sort of need and perspective and everybody's individual call, whether they decide, okay, I would much rather sort of stick around and figure out how to resolve this with my family, mm-hmm. or to say, no, I can't, and I have to leave and be separated from that, knowing that the family ties are so strong, and chances are that the family sooner or later is going to say, I can't live without my child. I want right. them back in my life.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, those situations, either situation is very emotional, and that's why it's very important that people have as much support as they can get.
I think it's very emotional in particular for Greek people.
Yeah.
And I think that if you are a young man and you're heterosexual and you go out with, say, a black woman or an Asian woman, these people would be fine if they were your friends, but bring them in as a lover and you have a problem.
Right.
And I think what happens is, you know, the parents are not always, I mean, none of us being Greek are in a great position to be cool and calm and say, this is going to boil over. I mean, it's an eruption. It's a nightmare. I also wonder how much support the parents can get. Because, I mean, they're obviously going through something they don't know how to deal with either. And they're probably likely to turn to their priest, their friends. And I really can't imagine those people being any better equipped to deal with the issue than they are.
Yeah.
So what about that? I mean, where do parents go when they have this kind of problem?
Well, my experience, you know, with the Greek church has not been helpful, to say the least. Not that a priest can't be there for emotional and spiritual support, but I think we know the homosexual stance of the church, and I can't say that it's very positive. So I think, and as you said, you know, with friends too, I think a lot of that would be the same way. Yeah. And it would be wonderful if our outreach could also be, you know, to the church, because that's where I think a majority of people and parents and children and youth will mm-hmm. probably go as well. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that priests have to say that, yes, this is absolutely accepted, but it would be nice if there was some kind of at least spiritual understanding to say that, mm-hmm. you know, you are a child of God, and I understand that, and we need to do whatever it is to make you feel the best that you can feel as a human being.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Perry.
I mean, that's a wonderful idea, and I completely agree with you. I think, however, just like the Catholic Church and its complete intolerance of gay and lesbian lifestyle, I don't expect any time in the near future to see the Greek Orthodox Church reverse its stand on that. But Athena raised a good point before, which was as the child, as the adolescent or the young adult, immerses himself by going to the community center or a place like that and identifying with other people who are like him or her. Mm-hmm. So too, probably the best support system for parents of gays and lesbians are to associate with other parents who are going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. That kind of affiliation and bonding will help them with the struggles that they're facing.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be difficult because a lot of parents are ashamed of the fact that this has happened in their family. And I mean, the response that comes to mind for me is, what are the neighbors going to think? What is society going to think? I mean, they're not inclined to call up their best friend and say, you know what, my son is 14 and he just told me that he has a boyfriend. I think you're right that it's going to be a long time. Another thing that came to mind is the Greek parade. I know it's been an issue with the St. Patrick's Day parade. What's up with that? Has there been any discussion about, have you asked to be admitted to the parade?
No, I haven't asked, to tell you the
truth. Well, not you personally, but, you know, the contingent, the gay and lesbian group.
This would be an interesting test. You know, there is a group that meets at the community center in Manhattan, Gala, which is, you know, gay Greek Americans and lesbians. And it would be interesting to see if they asked for admission into the parade, if they would be allowed. You know, my hypothesis is that they would be allowed. I think that,
really?
You know, I feel like, you know, the Irish Day Parade, the St. Patrick's Day Parade is so much more tied to the religion than our Independence Day is.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting test that we should try out.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, you brought up something really interesting, and you mentioned shame. I mean, shame, I think, doesn't only manifest itself within you know, sexual identity, but it also manifests itself within issues of mental illness and so many other aspects within, you know, a family dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that specifically even the church could deal with it much better than they do. And there should be, you know, more outreach. I know that there are some groups that do, but shame is the factor that keeps things in the closet. it really does. So many issues. And it's time that, you know, that those doors were broken down.
I hope they are. You're listening to Greek Through the Ages on Cosmos FM. Our topic is gay and lesbian issues in the Greek American community. Our number is 718-488-9500. We'll take a short musical break and resume our discussion. We're back with Perry Halkidis, Athena Gassoumis, and Yota Papadopoulos. We've been talking about this topic of being gay and lesbian in a rather heady way, so we'd like to change gears a little bit. And Perry and Athena, you've both dealt, you've both had your own experiences growing up gay and lesbian, and you've dealt with people, obviously, and tried to help people that had these problems. Why don't you tell us some stories, you know, of individual struggles with these issues?
It's a rough existence. When you're adolescent and you begin to realize that you have a gay identity, you have to grapple with, you know, how am I going to tell my parents this reality? I want to preface my stories by saying that, you know, my coming out to my parents was actually a very simple process. I had very loving parents and very understanding parents who, when I disclosed to them my identity, were very accepting of it. My father, I think, more so than my mother, but she in time has become more accepting. I had a very rare circumstance. But I will give you, you know, stories of just the discomfort of being gay, being an usher in my cousin's wedding or one of my cousin's weddings, you know, they all seemed to get married at the same time. And I was always asked to be an usher, so I, you know, had the obligatory tuxedo on. And the discomfort that I felt when I was waiting in the line as everybody was leaving the church to congratulate, you know, the bride and the groom groom and the bridal party, and they would say to me, Gestadikasu. And I didn't know what to say at that point. And, you know, at some points, you know, I would look at them and say, no, that's not going to happen for me. And at other points, I just thought, just forget about it and not deal with it. And that was a very uncomfortable situation. And then there are, like, horrible situations. I had a relative whose daughter was graduating and getting her master's degree and was having a graduation party. And my aunt, who was this relative, explicitly called me up to invite me, but indicated to me that I was not allowed to bring my partner, that it was unacceptable for her husband that my partner be present at this party with me. Huh. Of course, I chose not to go.
Uh-huh.
Those are just a couple of stories.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on this program before with my partner, in fact. My partner and I have been together 8 years, and I'm very fortunate for that. I mean, I really didn't experience homophobia until I came to America. So growing up in Greece, I found it to be a much different experience than it is here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's an issue that has to do with the need for labeling, that perhaps there isn't quite so much of that in Greece. Here, uh-huh. One has to have an identity. You know, either it's an identity because you're wearing a designer clothing, or it's identity because of, you have to just have an identity of I'm gay or lesbian, I'm Greek-American, I'm this. I mean, it sort of goes on and on, the mm-hmm. labels. And in Greece, I didn't find that. So when I came here, all of a sudden I had to like say something, and as soon as I then said something, it became an issue. Almost like, oh, I guess I'm that.
So where have you been able to find a spiritual home?
Being lesbian is accepted around New York in many different churches. One church that I attend is St. Xavier's on 16th Street and 6th Avenue, and it's a wonderful open community that I would suggest for anybody looking for a spiritual gift.
It's so wonderful to have a place like that for people to go and worship. I mean, there are synagogues in New York City that cater to the needs of gays and lesbians. You know, as a gay Greek American man, I've grappled with my spirituality for years now. I guess, you know, sort of based on this notion that my being gay would have absolutely no room in the church. I think back to when I was I went to Greek American school. I went to St. Demetrius, like many of us, in Astoria for many years. And I can remember my confession in the seventh grade to the priest about how I had looked at porno magazines, and how he had told me at that time that he was going to slap me because I did that. Huh. I can't even begin to imagine what his reaction would be if I told him that I was gay.
Oh, so you didn't tell them until the whole story that you...
They were women at that point.
Oh,
in the seventh. I didn't really know what was going on at that point. I just was doing what everybody else was doing, so that seemed right. But as I, you know, entered my late teens and my 20s and my 30s at this point, I've wondered, like, how do I bring back the spirituality in my life? And mm-hmm. I fear going back to the church because I fear that there's no room for me there. I'll bring up another story which sort of sets off, like, you know, red lights for me. I was speaking to a cousin of mine, and I do most of my work is, besides this gay identity stuff, based on HIV behavioral work with gay men. And I remember my cousin calling me about 4 years ago now, and wondering if she should worry about taking Holy Communion with AIDS around. And I thought, well, if she's thinking that, then certainly that is a thought that is probably present among other people too. And I, as an HIV behavioral researcher, don't have room to be in an institution that thinks that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's tough. So you basically don't participate in the church. You don't feel like there's any room for you.
I would love to. I mean, I have an interesting discussion with my mother every now and again about my belief system. I mean, my mother has completely accepted my sexual identity, but of course, as you brought up very correctly before, accepts it but doesn't exactly publicize it to her friends and the people that she works with and stuff like that, but is very good to come and spend time with me, and my partner spends time in our house, etc. And we go back and forth about this issue of spirituality. If I felt that the church was open and would embrace me and say to me, you know, Jesus loves you and God loves you regardless of your sexual orientation, I would gladly go back for that kind of support.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an essential part of being a human being, having that kind of spiritual connection.
Is your mother a religious person, Greek Orthodox?
Hmm.
I'm curious about how
question.
She
She'd like to think she's a religious person. You know, she's dutiful in her attendance at church and lighting candles. And my father passed away, and she's very good about doing, you know, mnemosyno and things like that related to his death. Uh-huh. Do I think she has a strong belief system? I think her belief system is based on the way she was raised and the way she thinks she needs to act. I think if you scratch deep the surface, you would see her doubting some of the ideas that she was raised in. But well, but she won't do that.
It's not hard to believe, because she sounds like a wonderfully supportive mother. Yeah. And I'm very surprised, in fact, to hear that she... you mentioned earlier that she was the one that had a little more trouble in the beginning.
Right.
But obviously they both accepted you now.
Yeah, they did. They did well. They had one son who was gay and another who married a Puerto Rican woman. And you know, and for that, I say to my parents, good for you. You know, which is, you know, a reaction that I don't think is typical.
Yeah.
Well, I think what is typical about that actually is that, and I think it's important, even sort of hearing what you said before about your the other person, you know, even if this person says this. The issue is that nobody sort of wakes up one morning and says, well, I'm going to be accepting of gay and lesbians now. That everybody sort of has to be confronted at a certain point and begin to think about it. And sort of the research on decision making shows that people really move in very small increments. Mm-hmm. It's not, you don't move from A to Z, you move from A to B to C, you know, if you move at all and if you're willing. And usually if there is some incentive, like your child is gay and so you struggle to understand and you don't want to lose that child, and you know, but mm-hmm. you don't go from one day not accepting to the other day accepting. Mm-hmm. It's a process.
I think it's the process. I'm sorry, Athena, you wanted to say something?
No, I was just going to say that, but unfortunately that sort of goes against Christian belief, not religion. But it is my focus, so I will bring us back to that. And Jutta, you brought up some interesting aspects, and what I would like to just add to that is that for parents that are concerned and spiritually oriented and religious, have a lot of religious consciousness, I think that it's also important to remember that Jesus never said the word homosexual once in any of the texts. So I think it's really important that those people that are maybe using religion to find some kind of negative or positive aspect, there's a lot more positive things than there are negative if one just reads closely. So I think it is something that is something that we can hold on to in a very positive way, and also to remember that the golden rule, which is, you know, love thy neighbor, treat thy neighbor as we would want them to treat us. So from there, we can go on to perhaps what Perry might want us to add to this.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. When you look at the foundations of our, you know, of Christian religion, which I'll speak to, that acceptance, love, not judging other people are the foundations that are there. We seem to have forgotten that in the 2,000 years since the religion first started. I find myself, you know, again, my struggles with the church, feeling the need for my spirituality to be there. I find that when I read scriptures and when I watch programs that deal directly with the life of Jesus, I feel that affinity is very, very strong there. And that's sort of like destroyed for me by the church. And that's an unfortunate situation. So I hold on to that very, very, very fine, fine thread that I have connected to my religion through the foundations that I think are incredibly important. I also think that the other thing that Jutta said is a very important thing to reemphasize, and that, you know, as young men and women are dealing with their sexual identity development and parents are beginning to accept their children and the community begins to accept the people who are gay and lesbian, we have to understand that human behavior is a very difficult thing to change. Mm-hmm. You know, my own work in the field has showed it's sometimes almost impossible to change, and that any small step that we take is a step in the right direction. And a program like this, where a frank discussion can begin, is essential in moving us forward. But it's not going to happen overnight. June's a very important month for gays, lesbians, and bisexual people, you know, all over the United States as we celebrate Pride. And several events, and culminating in the Pride event at the last Sunday in June, provide opportunities for people who are gay or lesbian or who are questioning their sexual identity to interact with each other in a variety of different forums. Recognizing this and recognizing that, you know, there's some probably young gay Greek boy or girl out there struggling, there's probably some parents struggling with the fact that their son is gay or lesbian, it's important to mention that there are services out there to support both. Probably the largest of which is the community center, the Gay and Lesbian Community Center, mm-hmm. Which is located on Little West 12th Street in Manhattan. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And also the Hedrick Martin Institute, predominantly for youth, and they have over 700 different outreach programs in-house and, you know, outreach, mm-hmm. and it's an incredible wealth of information for parents and youth in particular, and that's on Astor Place in Manhattan, 8 Astor Place, I believe is the address there.
Very good.
I also think we would be wrong not to recognize the fact that the HIV epidemic has affected the gay and lesbian community, certainly in the last 20 years, has devastated parts of it. And organizations such as Body Positive provide an anonymous hotline for anybody who might have questions about the disease.
Very good. Okay, Jonathan, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I suppose I would want to just make a pitch for psychology here. I know Greeks, particularly first-generation Greek immigrants, would never think of going to see a psychologist because that has as much of a stigma involved right. as anything else. But look, if you're struggling with this issue yourself, if your child is going through this experience and you don't want to lose that connection, then do look into seeing either a psychologist or a good social worker or somebody who has some experience working with sexual identity issues mm-hmm. and to begin to explore that, to come to some kind of peace with it, whatever mm-hmm. that may be. I'm not pushing for one way or the other. As we were saying before, it's an incremental process. It takes time. Mm-hmm. But to get some support mm-hmm. from services that are out there.
I would say maybe the younger people are the ones that are going to make the first step. Maybe the child mm-hmm. is the one. And, you know, very possible that the parents will never go to therapy because they, you know, one thing I've heard Greek people say is you don't know how to solve your own problems. You need somebody else to tell you how to think. Well, these kind of problems, you know, there's a lot against you. And, if you want to, you know, repair your family and have your identity and have your parents as well, and from the other side, the parent to have their child and have, you know, feel good about it, whatever, you know, it's important sometimes to get professional help. These are people that see dozens of cases, and they're in a much better position, and they're not emotionally involved. So there's definitely a value to psychotherapy. If you're young and you do it and your parents never come along, at least it'll help you to deal with their resistance. At least you'll get some help, you know, yeah. and you'll be better able to accept whatever reality you have to accept.
Yeah.
And I think more than anything else, if the message that I would hope that people would leave with after listening to this broadcast is that, you know, for young men and women who are struggling with their sexual identity, they're not alone. Mm-hmm. For parents who are parents of gays and lesbians, they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And not to feel that the sense of isolation that this sort of drama tends to create in people's lives. There mm-hmm. are others out there who are living through the same thing.
Right. Yeah, and I also think, you know, to sort of dovetail on what everybody has said already, it's, you know, it's just vital that people are brave enough to reach out. And as Perry has just mentioned, you know, it's not something that anybody is facing on their own. It's just, unfortunately, if you leave yourself isolated, you do face these issues by yourself, and there's really no reason to do that. So if somebody would just pick up a phone or just, you know, go to the community center, I think that they would realize how embracing the community can be, and they can find some help in any healing that they might need, you know, physical or spiritual, just mm-hmm. to come out of it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Greek Through the Ages on Cosmos FM. Our topic was gay and lesbian issues in the Greek American community. If you have questions about anything mentioned during the show or want information on outreach, please call the station at 718-488-9500. For Peter Mavrogiorgis, I'm George Panessis. Thanks for listening. Good night.